Baharuddin, a young farmer whose family lands lay in the vicinity of ExxonMobil's gas fields, recounted a story that was emblematic of widespread testimony about the abuses. One afternoon in December 2003, Baharuddin walked, with a friend named Nurdin, to an old mosque elevated on stilts and overlooking rice paddies near the pipeline road. He intended to have his hair cut at one of the informal stalls beside the mosque. TNI soldiers on foot patrol walked by. They approached and asked, "What are you doing here? Are you a member of GAM?" "No, I'm just a villager," Baharuddin answered. "You're lying. You just came down from the mountains." They hid him. Then they force-marched him and his friend across the rice fields to an interrogation center in the battalion commander's post, a little farther down the pipeline road. Interrogators showed Baharuddin the wallet of a man named Ismail and accused him of extorting money from him.
"Just confess," one of his interviewers, an Achenese, said gently. "You'll be fine. If not, they'll beat you up."
"I'd rather be beaten. I didn't do anything," he answered.
About 8 soldiers came upstairs. They carried 2 iron bars, a razor blade, salt, and the delicacy known as star fruit. First they drew bloody lines on his chest with the blade. Then they sliced open his ears. They sprinkled salt and fruit juice on the wounds. Baharuddin thought, he recalled,
"If I confess, it won't mean the beating will stop."
The TNI were notorious among local villagers for continuing with their punishments, no matter what their detainees said. He worried, too, he said later, that someone else might get into trouble because of any confession he made. The soldiers cut off sections of his ears. They beat him in shifts. They forced him to lie down, put a wooden board on his back, and then walked over him 2 at a time. After about 5 days, they gave him a cigarette to smoke and invited him to speak with the battalion commander. The commander leafed through a thick book of GAM suspects. "You have an hour to confess," he announced.
"Why don't you shoot me now?" Baharuddin recalled answering.
"Okay, dig a hole," the commander finally said. They went outside and dug a trench between the interrogation post and a nearby electric pylon. "You can invoke your god and tell him to release you," the commander told him. Baharuddin did so. Rather than shoot him, however, the soldiers took him back inside, tied him up, and locked him upstairs again. A soldier named Reza, who was being punished, was imprisoned alongside him that evening, perhaps as a ruse.
"This is your last night," he advised, as Baharuddin recalled. "If you confess, they'll release you."
Baharuddin doubted this. Reza fell asleep, and Baharuddin found the strength to untie himself. He crawled slowly down the stairs in the early hours of the morning, slipped outside, crossed over to the pipeline road, and ran. He hid in a small brick factory as the sun rose, stopped a passerby, and sent a messenger to his family. They brought him to a unit of GAM guerrillas. He enlisted in the rebellion immediately. His mutilated ears provided him credibility with his peers. His story was one among hundreds from 2003 and 2004. Throughout, ExxonMobil operated the Arun gas fields and the liquefied natural gas conversion factory without interruption. In Jakarta, Bill Cummings, who ran the corporation's public affairs office under country manager Ron Wilson, recruited some local specialists in community relations and dispatched them to Aceh to try to win enough favor from the local population to avoid a repetition of 2001, when GAM had attacked ExxonMobil repeatedly because of its alliance with the TNI. The corporation's operations in the midst of the conflict were precarious, but GAM had pulled back for the most part from striking at ExxonMobil or its employees. The corporation routinely engaged in community relations efforts when it extracted oil and gas. In Aceh, a creative engagement could also be protective. ExxonMobil's campaign in Aceh was prescribed in Texas, however. It had to follow the worldwide corporate manual approved in Irving. Under the corporation's Operations Integrity Management System, or OIMS, the comprehensive instruction book and guidelines adapted after the Exxon Valdez wreck, the same community relations strategies employed in Colorado had to be employed in the conflict zone. To handle complaints, for example, the Public Affairs Department set up a voicemail number where Achenese citizens could leave messages, although relatively few of them had phones at the time. Then the ExxonMobil managers were to take down the messages and respond within a set period of time prescribed by the manual. Corporate managers also attended events around the province and handed out ExxonMobil hats to Achenes villagers. ExxonMobil's idea of community development was, "You give me a proposal and we'll assess it," one former employee familiar with the campaign recalled. The people, Achenes, would say, "Give us 10 cows for community development." Exxon would assess it and say, "Well, that fits with our approach," and they would give the cows, and the next day the cows would be roast beef, and there would be a big party in the village. Cows not eaten immediately wandered around with ExxonMobil stenciled in red on their backsides. It was just give, give, give. ExxonMobil went into this Father Christmas mode, the employee recalled. They built volleyball courts, just slabs of concrete in paddy fields. You had so many volleyball courts around Aceh. They were just slabs of concrete, but GAM imposed a tax on all construction, so GAM liked this. ExxonMobil opened a health clinic in Aceh that sometimes treated as many as 300 or 400 patients a day, according to the former employee involved. The doctors prescribed Valium to reduce the stress of farmers and villages living amid the violence. The stress could be particularly intense for Achenese employees of the oil corporation. GAM's intelligence officers knew of the local employees' salaries, where they lived, and who their family members were. Rebel extortionists would telephone and say, "We're going to tax you 30 million rupiahs, or about $3,300. If an employee received such a call, he or she could negotiate the price, but he would have to pay or face death. The local employees were really out on a limb, the person involved in the outreach campaign recalled. GAM was everywhere. ExxonMobil's expatriate managers never quite understood what was going on.